This is a continuation of St. Matthew's way of gathering our Lord's teaching. As you know, we've been going through life in the community, starting with chapter 18. And here, once again dealing with riches, this text comes, as you know, just after the Lord had invited that man to follow him. Go home, sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Those are good steps. And then, come follow me. That's the step. And he went home sad. And we talked about that yesterday. And today, we have more teaching of our Lord. We have two things: the difficulties that riches provide for us, and the second, the vision of leaving everything for Jesus. The first one, our Lord is saying, you know, how hard it is for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. In Luke, at another point, the Lord says, unless a man renounce everything he has, he can't be my disciple. Now, how are we to understand these things? We can't just say, well, what we often do is just say, well, that's very difficult, and duck, hope for the best. Maybe the gospel the next day will be better, you know. But we can't do that. You know, this is the word of Jesus. I think I said this once before. That's a Sunday gospel, that one from Luke. And so I was driving up St. Paul's, and I'm praying, Lord, how am I supposed to preach on this? These people up there, they have children. They have responsibilities. What do you mean? They just leave everything or they can't be your disciple? That can't be what you mean. And I thought I heard him say, look, what I'm saying is this. Let them give authority and control over all they own to me. And I will guide them. I will teach them how to use the goods of this world. Of course, if they have children, they have to feed them, educate them, care for them. But one of the things that is hardest to stay free of, attachment to, is money and possessions and comfort. And so let them come to me and I'll teach them. And the more honest they are with me, the more honest I can be with them. We have canonized kings, you know. So, that means he doesn't mean it. No. What he's telling us in this text is how hard it is for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, those who have worked with the very poor, even though very poor who are not Christian, can attest to a certain sense of they suffer. Oof. But there's a certain joy and a certain freedom in their life. Ask Katie when she's around, who spent all those years in the Sudan. In other words, he's saying this stuff can be a real obstacle to your freedom. And so I want you to understand that. How hard it is for somebody. Now, imagine, you know, some of these people nowadays, you know, we're rich. Well, we are rich. I mean, as I say, we live in the top one half of 1% of the world when it comes to comfort, access to money, you know. And not only that, but we've been given faith and the opportunity of coming to Mass every day. How many people get that? We're rich not only materially, but spiritually. So when the disciples say, well, gosh, who's going to get saved? Remember, though, rich can mean, yeah, we're rich, and compared. But think of the people, you know, the inequities in our country. I've forgotten the exact figure, but let's say it's something like this. The average CEO of a big company earns somewhere like 400 times more per year than his workers. Now, that's rich. And that usually is totally blinding. How could a man quietly sit there earning $1 billion a year and some of his people don't even have health insurance? I mean, that's rich and hardening of heart and blinding. And so we have to pray not to fall into that in our own way. But you see what, you know, rich. There's levels of rich, as you all noticed. So they're quite disturbed. Well, then who can be saved? Now look, Jesus, according to Matthew here, he looked at them. What a kindness. He looked at them. And he said, for men, this is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. You come to me. You talk to me. You listen to me. I will instruct you the way you should walk. I will teach you how I want you to live your life. And then, another dimension of this, Peter says, we've given up everything and followed you. And they have. That's a way of life. That's a possibility. You have dramatic examples, like St. Francis, who walked off from the town square stark naked, wouldn't take even the clothes on his back from his father, and relied, wouldn't touch money. Somebody once gave him a bag of gold and he threw it on the dung heap. It's possible. And there was probably never a happier man. Well, where are we in all of this, you see? Well, this is a special vocation. We've given up everything to follow you. And Jesus says, I promise you, those who have followed me. Now, he doesn't go back to the, we've given up everything. He just goes back to followed you. That's the key. Follow him. Listen to him. And if he says, look, I want you to give up everything and just trust me, we better do it. We better do it. But if he says, now, you listen to me, I want you to pray, I want to show you how you can be generous with your goods and still take care of your family. And it comes to the same thing. Trust in me. Trust in me. Now, for these people, and now Jesus is talking to the apostles, who are the new Israel. When the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, you will sit on 12 thrones, and you will judge the 12 tribes. And that's a fact. That's a fact. That's founding the new Israel, gathering the lost tribes. And then he says about everybody, and everybody who's given up house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. So it is a vocation. It is a vocation. To the degree that I'm called to it, I tell my students, you know, 100 times brothers and sisters and father and mother. I travel quite a bit, and it's rare, I mean like very, very rare, that I go to an airport and have to take a taxi. There's always somebody can come and get me, a friend. I have hundreds of brothers and sisters, and houses. Here, Father, here's the key, you know. So long as you're with us, the house is yours. Well, I only need it while I'm with them, I mean... The Lord makes good on these promises. The key is to turn to the Lord and say, look, everything I've got is yours. Just show me how to use it. Just show me what you want of me. And I will do my very best to obey you. Just please don't stop talking to me if I don't get it right away. Just help me. And the Lord will help us. And there are little things he does to help us practice. You're out there at the store and you're getting some shirts and you're thinking of getting two and there's a third one. It looks great. You know. And you hear the Lord say, forget that. You don't need it. That's obedience. You don't need that. That's the beginning of what our Lord wants to teach us about the way to handle material goods.